Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. We're going to continue today to talk about John the Baptist. We're giving a reading from the Gospel today, and I think I began yesterday to reflect on the life of John and to touch on some of the reading that Jesus, the words that Jesus speaks about John. John the Baptist is often overlooked, and he is for us a great model, so it's good to look at him. It's good to take some time to think about this man who was such a transitional character, you know, moving from the Old Testament dispensation to this time of fulfillment of the coming of the Messiah, and he's the transition that makes straight for us things that we can take and internalize. He's considered the forerunner, right? He's bringing Jesus to the world, and the church is another way of understanding the church is people baptized into Jesus, living in him, and that we ourselves are forerunners for the return of the Lord, for the final coming of the kingdom, but also forerunners to help people who've never encountered the King, never encountered the kingdom, have not yet been baptized into Christ, to go forward as messengers being sent, you know, everyone baptized into Christ to teach, the church has taught again and again, we're all apostles, small a, you know, not hierarchical apostles like the bishops, but we're all apostles. That means we're sent ones. We're sent by virtue of the fact that the Spirit of God who dwells in us, and it's the Spirit who's the first agent of the church's mission going forward. The Spirit moves in the people of God to talk about what the Spirit of God has been sent to lead us to talk about, and what the Spirit of God most wants to do to reveal the glory and majesty of Jesus. So we're sent to go forward. John the Baptist is called the friend of the bridegroom. He's a forerunner. He has this set of things that he's incarnating for us. He's manifesting, he's showing us that are critical to the life of every disciple. I want to just read another passage, a set of passages here that help us, I didn't touch on yesterday, that'll help us get a little bit more hold on who John is and what the Lord is calling us to do and following in his footsteps. And so John lived a very unusual lifestyle we're talking about now. Of course, he lived in the desert. He's part of a community, probably in Qumran. He ate locusts, wild honey. And Jesus is not telling all of us, and the reason I'm reading it is not to tell us all we need to abandon what we're doing, where we live, our responsibilities, and go do something else. That's not it. Where we're planted, the vocation we're given, where God has put us in the relationships, the responsibilities that we have, we're meant to live like John in that context, with single-heartedness, with clarity about the way God is leading our lives, to understand that we're part of God's great work of the unfolding of his kingdom in space and time, that the Spirit of God that was on John is the same Spirit that's now in us and upon us, and that it's that Spirit that wants to help us build the kingdom in our marriage, in our home, and to live out a life, a particular kind of lifestyle that expresses that we too are friends of the bridegroom. So let's listen to a couple of these key passages. Again, Matthew 11, the whole chapter there is kind of reflecting in different ways on John. It says, John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a gluttonous man drinking too much wine, a drunkard, and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. So isn't it interesting? The man that Jesus said up to that time was the greatest man the world had ever seen. Great in the eyes of God, great in what God calls great, and what the kingdom values, not what the world values. So Jesus is telling people who John is and what he's truly like and what he's truly like in the eyes of God. But leaders, even religious leaders at the time, said John has a demon. Now, you couldn't be more far. I guess you could be farther off. And that gets shown actually in the religious leaders as they confront Jesus, because not only do they say that John has a demon, and in both cases, they could not be farther from the truth. So it reveals something about the condition of the hearts of those leaders. Jesus was accused of being a drunkard. Why? Because he spent time with people who needed a physician, essentially, Jesus made clear, right? John lived a radical life, and here it's touching on it. He fasted a lot, and he lived a simple life. We're all called to fast. Fasting is a really important part of the Christian life. It's the emptying of oneself, the silencing of the internal life and the cravings and the demands, you know, that comes from the flesh, to have periods of fasting in our life. And of course, everybody, age-specific, health-wise, need to have wisdom and guidance on how to do it. But some dimension of fasting, of setting things aside, of in quieting the heart, emptying it out in its desires to be filled more with God and the things of God, to live from a simple abandonment of our lives and trust to God. There's great power in it. Think, friends, if you've been listening this week to the programs, and if you haven't, I encourage you to go to our website and download Monday and Tuesday. We talked about the fear of God. We talked about Simeon and Anna and Our Lady, of course, and others, these characters in the story of salvation who are in the world but not of the world, the way Jesus calls all of us to live, and living lifestyles which were different than common folk around them, but lifestyles that allowed them to hear God, walk with God, and in some ways, friends, there were lifestyles that were a natural response, a spiritual response to the fact that they'd encountered God and God had spoken to them. And they discerned. They came to the point where they said, you know what? Like Simeon, he heard a word from the Lord. Did one rabbi affirm him in that? I don't know. Maybe not. Anybody in the synagogue? Who knows? But he was staking everything on what he heard the Lord speak to his heart. That he needed to be alert, to be awake, to be in the temple, seed, and to anticipate and wait for the coming of the Messiah. He was given a promise that he bet everything on, that his eyes would behold the actual Messiah, the longing of Israel. And it happened. And here's John. John knew the same thing, that he was meant to be a forerunner. And so he's one of the ways we stay focused and we do the kind of violence that was talked about yesterday. You know, Jesus said the kingdom of God is taken violently. But what does that mean? Not by taking up arms and harming people. It's about doing violence to the flesh and the noise within us and the habit patterns of self-centered life that leave very little room to hear God, or the unwillingness to risk everything on God's promises and God's call because of the opinions of other people, comforts we desire, you know, the things the scripture warns us about. Be careful about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, right? Just the basic flesh, sexual desires and food desires, things that can easily get out of control. The lust of the eyes, like I want the gold, the glitter. I want the bling. I want to be in places of power. And, you know, I want people to see, I want to possess the things of this world that shine, diamonds and the glory and all the rest of that. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. I want to be famous. I want to be powerful. I want to be considered among the elite. I want to be in the inner circle. I want to be a somebody. I want everybody to notice me. I want the honors of this world. I want to be honored in this world. Look at the people who carried the load, who really were involved in the unfolding of the kingdom of God. The ones who God calls, they're not like that at all. They actually are in the world, and they're in the world that's the kingdom of God has come into, and they're in the service of, and they're living in the pattern of life of the kingdom of God. And it's radically different. And so Jesus in the scripture says, hey, look, you baptized my children, you need to break from the habit patterns of this world and the idols that you're clinging to and the enslavements that are part of you. And the Lord is saying, I'm here to help you. So seek first the kingdom of God now. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't have any anxiety about anything. That stuff, when you read it, it's so striking. It sounds crazy. Like everybody's anxious about things, about what they're going to eat, where. How is it possible to live any other way? Well, it's possible. Because greater is he than he that's in the world. And Jesus doesn't call us to something that he doesn't give us the power, the grace, the anointing for, and he's expecting us to do it as followers of him. Unless he said, you know, you want to come after me? You want to be a follower? Look at how John lived. Look at how Simeon lived. Look at how Our Lady lived. Look at how the saints in history now live. Jesus is saying that. This is what it means to follow me. Deny yourself. That's part of the violence. I'm denying the demands of my ego, of my flesh, of saying, I want, me, my will be done. That's got to die. And if you subdue, St. Paul says, the drives of the flesh, the power of the flesh, how? By the Spirit, not just by my willpower, but by yielding to the Spirit of Jesus. The flesh had no hold on him. And his heart, his grace, his power has been given to us to live a different way of life. And part of it is walking out a lifestyle like John the Baptist. He was generous in giving and serving and praying and blessing our enemies and fasting, this kind of thing, walking out the Sermon on the Mount lifestyle. That's part of the normal Christian life. It's not just for the exceptional. And that's really where the gold is. And friends, a lot we're in the world, we're pursuing greatness. And greatness always means what? Big money, big influence, big friends, big possessions, big authority, big power. You get to move the pieces on the table, you know, on the board. You get to be the one. And it's totally different than the kingdom of God. And as a result, friends, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time to pursue those things. If in obedience to God, you're fulfilling your vocation, you're doing your job, and these things come your way, great. Handle them with humility, handle them, but just don't get into the place where you actually start thinking they're something. Because the Lord is reducing those who think they're something, all of us in the heart, really. He reduces, Paul tells us, those who think they're something to nothing, so that they don't fall in the trap of boasting in our own strength and power, because there's nothing to boast in. The only thing to boast in is God, the things of God, his work of salvation, his Son. Boast in the Son. Boast that you know him and he's in you and he saved you and he's using you. And what he says to you is what matters. What he thinks of you is what matters. How he celebrates you is what matters. Not anybody else. It's a trap. There's a lot of traps, friends, in the world. Lastly, John the Baptist, the forerunner. No man has ever surpassed him to this. He's a model of the wholehearted pursuit of God. Here's John 3:29. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. John is, you know, the church is the bride of Christ, and John's maybe at the head of that table. And he just waited for the coming of the bridegroom. And we are a church that says, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. We are alert. We know our King is coming. We know the bridegroom is coming. We can't let our lamps go out. We have to keep our lamps full, and we have to be alert and awake and helping people be prepared for the coming of the Lord. That's part of the faithful calling of being a disciple, not only being a forerunner, but being a bridegroom. It's important for us to remember each one of us is called bridegroom, forerunner. Let's live it, friends, with all our hearts. Let's step into that. Why? Because we've been given the Spirit of God to fulfill our mission and calling in this life. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.